What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker, and that means one thing and one thing only. I am your host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Edor Zooming, coming to you here on April. Oh, wait. We turned the calendar. It's got to be May now. It's May 1st, and that is a Tuesday for those of you keeping track of those things out there. And appreciate y'all for riding with me here on another day of the Zoo Yorker. Please, 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 if you are here right now, click that follow and subscribe button. Make sure you get all those notifications every time a new episode drops, that you don't have to wait for me to post it on the Twitter machine. You don't have to wait for me to post it up anywhere, and you don't have to go around searching for it. It'll be right there. You get the notification, click on that, and just go right in and listen. Appreciate y'all doing that, and appreciate y'all if you just happen to feel a little oozy and want to give me a 5-star review. Please do so. That helps get more eyes onto the podcast. It helps people understand what we are doing here, and just thank you guys so much if you do that. Also, holla at me on the Twitter machine, on the X machine, Elon Musk machine, at ZooBeard77. Got a lot going on there, but, oof, you know what? I just got to get right into it, everybody. I've been beating around the bush with this intro today, but that was one of the worst New York Knicks losses that I've seen in a very, very, very long time. And the result, yes, that was terrible. But the way that they played at the end of that game was atrocious. It was just atrocious. I mean, I haven't seen this team who is buttoned up and does everything the right way end up playing like that at all. At any point in this season or last season, to just fall apart like that. Actually, there was one game that I could remember off the top of my head, and there was a game against Dallas, I believe, last season, where they were up 8 in the final minute and ended up losing in overtime. They blew it. Everything about what they did in the final 30 seconds of regulation, they blew that. And then overtime was just a freaking avalanche. I mean, let's just start at the end of the game, because that's really the killer. Once Mitchell Robinson fouls Tyrese Maxey, gives him a 4-point play, and then Maxey, of course, takes advantage of it, gets the free throw. They go down, foul Josh Hart, because of course, the Knicks had to put the ball into Josh Hart's hand at the end of the game there when they're passing it around. They had to find Josh Hart to get it, and of course, the Sixers foul him immediately, because Josh Hart, while he was a 80% free throw shooter during the season, has been mediocre at best in the playoffs, in my opinion, shooting a free throw. And he comes through for the Sixers. He bricks the first one. He makes the second one. Thank God, because that was made it a 3-point game. Otherwise, Maxey would have came down the court, and his half-court heat that tied the game would have won the game for the Sixers. So, thankfully, Josh Hart hit that shot, I suppose. But anyway, with about 13 seconds to go, the Sixers get the ball, and Maxey runs up court and fires a wide open three from half court. Now, to be fair, it's on the logo, but somebody needs to be there. Somebody needs to make sure that he is not taking that shot. And Mitchell Robinson, God bless him, he's trying to overcompensate for the foul that he just committed on Maxey. So he's sitting all the way back. I mean, I'm talking all the way back. Now, he probably wasn't expecting a shot to be pulled in that moment either, with 8 seconds or 9 seconds left when the shot went up. But still, you have to be at least somewhat in the area, man. You can't let this guy just get a full head of steam when they're down by 3 points, because you know what they're trying to do. They are not trying to just dish the ball around and burn time and get a great shot. They're just putting up shots in that moment. Now, there's the other option to foul, and Tibbs addressed that after the game and said there was an opportunity for the Knicks to foul there. They just did not commit it. If that was going to be communicated, it needed to be clearly communicated to this team, because they did not look like they were trying to foul at any point when Maxey was bringing that ball up. And if that's the case, then it was not clearly communicated to them. They need to go and foul. Now, you could say that was a strategy they employed all season long. You could say anything you want to say. What matters is that this game was Game 5, a closeout game of a playoff series. It does not matter if you think that everybody knows what they're supposed to do. You need to call a freaking timeout, or you need to scream your ass off as the free throw is going up from Josh Hart that there needs to be a foul if it goes in. You do not leave that up to the players. You do not leave that up to chance. You let them know that that is what you want to do there. I don't personally believe in the foul up three, but I do believe that if a coach wants something to be put into place, he needs to allow the players to know. And the Knicks were not trying to foul. So I don't want to hear from Tom Thibodeau there were chances to, and they didn't. They did not know that that was what they were going to do there. They were playing defense because that was the end of the game, and that's what they were thinking they were supposed to do. They were not monitoring things like a three-point lead or anything like that. They were paying attention to the game at hand and trying to win it in that moment. They were playing straight-up defense. They might have known it was a three-point lead, but in their heads, they're playing D. They are not going to foul. That's not the prime objective when you are playing basketball. It's not a natural move. You are not naturally going to foul. So if you're going to say that, you need to let them know. Anyway, that's a very, very, very moot point because Maxey drilled that three anyway with nobody anywhere close to him at the half-court logo. And this game goes into overtime after Jalen Brunson misses a leaner, I guess I'll call it. It wasn't a good shot at all. They had 8 seconds to try to get something good. He ended up just heaving it up there. It wasn't anything close. So this game went into overtime, and overtime started out nice for the Knicks. They go up with a 5-point lead early on. Sixers respond, 9-0 run, and it just kept going from there. It wasn't anywhere close after that moment. I mean, Jalen Brunson got it tight for a second, but after that, it was all Philly. I mean, even Brunson had terrible, terrible possessions through overtime. I mean, I get it. Guys were just standing around giving him nothing to work with, but Brunson was heaving up threes that were having no prayer based on how tired he was at that point. He was getting defended by Batum, which I don't even know why it was putting him in such a freaking crazy lock, but it has all series, and he throws the ball away 2 times in the last 3 minutes, and I just never seen Jalen Brunson kind of melt down like that. I've never seen him have such a poor ending to a game. And it was honestly something that was really, really, it hurt. It hurt to see that because it makes you have to think about what the hell is going on. What the hell is going on with this guy? And I don't think it's anything bad, but I was sitting there going, come on, Jalen, just wake up. Just wake up. And he couldn't. He couldn't. He couldn't get it going. He had a great game, an incredible game, a game that if they would have won, would have been historic. But instead, it's washed away, and it's another 30-point playoff performance from a Knick that didn't mean anything. And that's unfortunate. But when you're unable to perform at the end of a closeout game, you don't deserve to get credit for it. You don't deserve to be patted on the back for it. You blew it. And now the series has to go back to Philadelphia. And now the Sixers feel a little bit of life. Tyrese Maxey is Tyrese Maxey. You know? Now you might have just given that young man life. You might have just given that young man star power life and superpowers for the rest of this series. You look at that team. They believe. Kelly Oubre, even though he's a little something. And I'm not going to curse. But he's a little something. And he has belief. He's going out there. He's energized. He's pumping everybody up. He's trying to make all the big defensive plays and keep this team in this game. And now that they actually got one and they're going to Philly, the rest of that team is going to look at his antics and they're going to love it now. They're going to be right behind him when he's pointing his hand down the court every time he draws an offensive foul on the Knicks or every time he has somebody turn it over on the Knicks. He is energy. And now that the Sixers have life, they can actually believe in that energy. Now, Joel Embiid is a big question mark. But when you see what Tyrese Maxey was able to do, you see what that supporting cast was able to work with him and give him. I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and believe that the Knicks are going to win a game 6 in Philly after what just happened last night. I have zero confidence that that is going to happen. So, off the bat, I think this is a 7-game series now. And the fact that it is a 7-game series, I mean, wow. Wow. They really blew it. And that's the only way you can feel today if you are a Knicks fan. This team absolutely blew it last night. And it doesn't matter if you want to put the blame on one person. If you want to put the blame on Mitch, you want to put the blame on Josh Hart, you want to put a little blame on Brunson, you want to put blame on DiVincenzo for not showing up at all yesterday. I mean, go ahead. But the reality is that this team now has to come out on Thursday in Philadelphia and try to win a game on the road to close out this series. And I just don't see that happening with the way that this just went. I know the Knicks fan just took over Philadelphia. I know the Sixer fan just showed that they gave up with the way that they didn't show up to Game 4. But they will show up to Game 6. And they're going to be loud, and they're going to feel themselves, and they're going to act like they were there the whole time. And it's not going to matter what happened before, because all that matters is what's happening now. And what's happening now is the Knicks had an opportunity to get themselves out of this first round early on without having to have any type of a long series here. And instead, they are on their way to potentially playing a 7-game absolute nail-biter series, a dogfight of a first-round series with this Philadelphia 76ers team. And a series that I was confident in them winning, now I'm 50-50. This could go any way, because we need to now see how this Knicks team is able to respond. We need to see how this Knicks team is able to come off the mat, because we haven't really seen this Knicks team have to deal with any loss that was that bad, that was caused by them. They melted down. They didn't show up. They just fell apart. And it's hard for me to sit here and have that belief when I just saw that. It's hard for me to sit here and believe in what this team can do, because even though they've shown me all year, and I should believe what my eyes are showing me, but they never did this. They never melted down like this. And seeing that it's not only possible, but when it happens, it is atrocious. I'm not sure if these guys are able to bounce off the mat. I think they are. I know they're resilient guys. I know they put it all out there, and I know they're all heart. But that was about as bad of a loss as you could possibly have. Playoffs, regular season, NBA Finals, whatever you want to put it as, that is pretty much as bad of a loss as you could ever have in the game of basketball. And we're really gonna have to see how they come off the mat. That's all that matters now. All the talk that's gonna go on for the next day, next 2 days, up until tip off Thursday night, it doesn't matter. The only thing that is going to mean anything when it's all said and done is the response that this team puts out on Thursday. If they come out flat like they did tonight, the Sixers are going to run them out of the building. Plain and simple. It won't be close, it won't be fun, and there will be a Game 7 on Saturday night. They have to come out with heart, they have to come out with intensity, and they have to come out hitting shots. And once they get that lead, they need to play with urgency the entirety of the game. They can't go out and just brick up threes. They can't go out and just play like crap. They have to come out and get the freaking job done early. Because if not, there's going to be a lot of question marks surrounding this team going into the offseason after what was a great season. But if you don't pull out this first round win, it's going to be one that we forget, unfortunately, because of how pathetic that it ended. And now, if you blow a 3-1 lead on top of that, oof, there are going to be changes to be made too. But there is still a 3-2 lead for this Knicks team and two more games for them to close this series out and make it what we want, and that is a second round berth for this New York Knicks team. They got to get it done. It's up to them now. They blew chance number one. They got two more. Got to show up Thursday. It's that easy. About last night. Oof. See, look at that. Now we're really starting to cook, man. I'm singing over here. But I'm not singing too much. Not singing too much after that Knick game. I'm still feeling some type of way. And I'm still really, really, yeah. I'm not over that yet. I'm not over that loss. And it's probably going to take me a while. Or it's probably going to take me a win to get over that one. But for right now, I'm feeling some type of way. Ugh. I need to get over this because the Mets won last night, 4-2. DJ Stewart with a banger of a 3-run home run. And that's what you like to see out of this Mets team. I told you yesterday, they got to go out and they got to get a win tonight. They have to get a win tonight because they cannot come out of each and every one of these series losing the first two games and then having to take a third game non-sweep as a win for that series. Now, the Mets sit here, two games into this four-game set with the Cubbies, tied at 1-1. Chance today to get a second win here, but they are going up against the young rookie Japanese ace, Imanaga, that the Chicago Cubbies signed in this offseason, who is off to an incredible start. Got a whip under one, has an ERA under one. He's striking a lot of dudes out. This is a guy who the Mets probably could have gotten in the offseason, but clearly they did not. He also clearly is taking to the U.S. a lot better than our good friend out in L.A., one Yoshinobu Yamamoto is. So I will say this, he seems like he is the better choice between the two so far in their short careers, but he will be a tough test for this Mets lineup to go up against. He is a borderline all-star for this season, as we can see. He is potentially, I mean, listen, if these numbers keep up, and even if they steady out to an average level from where they are right now, he is most likely going to be a Cy Young contender come the end of the season, and a Rookie of the Year contender at the end of the season. This is a dude who you can really, really go out there today, and you can get a good feel of where this lineup is at. I'm excited for this matchup tonight. I think this is going to be a very, 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 very good game to watch for this Mets team. And, of course, like I said, this is going to be a fun test for this lineup and for these. Although they're not doing well right now, maybe this is the way to get them locked in. Maybe this is the way to see a guy like Francisco Lindor start getting hot when he faces somebody who is a quote-unquote all-star Cy Young level type pitcher. Maybe that wakes him up a little bit. We have to see. Maybe I'm just being a little too hopeful. It's probably the second there. Oh, man. But the Mets play the Cubbies tonight. That is at 7 o'clock. Let me double check that for you guys. That is at 7:10. And, of course, they will have the great Jose Puto going on the mound to take on Imanaga. It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun one. But you know what hasn't been fun? Baltimore for the New York Yankees, as they drop another game last night, 4-2 to the Orioles. They're now down 2-0 in that four-game set, and they are not making a good impression. They are not making a good impression on any of the really good teams in the AL East this season. They lost a bunch to Toronto earlier. They lost now twice in a row to Baltimore to start this four-game set on the road. And you have to look at this Yankees team, and you have to just realize once again their lack of timely hitting. Now, are they there for the big home run? Of course. Austin Wells bangs one to center field. Juan Soto hits one to freaking Delaware. I mean, he hit a bomb later on in that game, the sixth inning. But you know what that did? Nothing. It was a drop of water into a barrel. It was a drop of water into the ocean, I should say, actually. The Yankees were already down 4-1 by the time Soto hit that bomb, got it to 4-2. Now, yes, of course, you take runs. When you're down by three, you take any runs you can get. But the fact that the Yankees never seem to hit these home runs in tight games with guys on base, the fact that the Yankees never seem to come through when guys are on base, on second, on third, throughout these games with just a little dink into right field to drive a guy in, to just drop a ball into left center field, get a guy in. They can never do that. It's almost like they refuse to. And it just comes down to what we're going to continue to say about this team and this lineup all season long. And that is situational hitting. Situational hitting for them is atrocious. They don't have a prayer going out there. When they got a guy on second base and one out, they got no prayer of that guy getting home. That's every time you watch a Yankee game, they get two guys on first and second, one out. You know those guys aren't coming home unless somebody hits a bomb. Nobody's going to drive them in with a double. Nobody's going to drive them in with a little single to right field with two strikes and two outs. That's just not going to happen. That's not the approach of this team. That's not the analytic approach of this team. And I'm sorry, I'm usually not an anti-analytic guy, but when it's so clear that the analytics are telling you BS and they're screwing you over, that you need to move off of the analytics or you need to revise what the analytics are saying. Because there is no world in which this Yankee team could possibly be reading anything except for awful, awful, awful attempts at hitting in pressurized, in clutch situations. Because that's a stat. I know that's a stat. I don't know why the hell these analytic people don't seem to care about that stat very much, unless they're just looking at a guy randomly and they go, oh, look at his clutch. Do you even know what that means? I'm honestly interested to know who the hell makes these analytic decisions for the Yankees, because it seems to me as if they're the ones that don't understand what they're reading. If you understood analytics, if you understood what you're talking about, you would look at how poorly this team performs in those situations. You would know how poorly this team performs in those situations because you wouldn't be looking at it from the overall perspective of driving guys in. You would look at the perspective of, hey, late game situations, one run game, two run game, three run game. How do these guys put on with guys on the base? How do these guys hit when the score is at that point? They should know that. They should be looking at things like that. And they should know, based on the stats that they are getting, that this team performs very poorly in those situations. They need desperately to bring somebody in there with some urgency to fix this. They need to bring somebody in with urgency to try and change what they're doing, because this is not working. And it's not going to work. It's not going to come through, because teams like Baltimore, they're the teams you're going to face come the end of the season. They're the teams you're going to be fighting with to make it into the playoffs to win a division. And if you're unable to compete with them in April and May, it's not going to get better in October. It's just not. Especially if Aaron Judge is going to look like a shell of himself because of a toe injury or because of an oblique injury or because of some injury that they're not telling us about, which is, if that is the case, a humongous joke for this organization once again, and a terrible, terrible dereliction of duty. Terrible dereliction of duty by whoever is in charge of this. I honestly can't sit here and I can't try to wax poetically about this Yankee team anymore. I know how good they are, I know how good this lineup is, and I know what they're going to put up at the end of the year. And I want to believe that they are going to find a way to start putting contact on these balls when it is freaking 3-1 or 4-1, instead of just striking out and leaving guys on base. They have to figure out a way to do that. And I know I'm probably screaming at a wall because this is how it's been for years now, but come on. I mean, when is it going to change? When is it going to change? Apparently, the answer to that is never. And never was something that the Ranger fan wanted to hear when it came to the ending of the Carolina Islanders series. You know, Ranger fans wanted this thing to go long, 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 so that whoever came out of it was going to be a little shot going into their second round series with the President's Trophy winners this year. But unfortunately, for Ranger fans and the Rangers themselves, the Carolina Hurricanes took care of business last night on the Isles, winning 5-3 in Raleigh, and that puts a bow on the Islanders' season, and speculation begins on that roster changing, flipping over. A lot of guys may be leaving or potentially retiring. Cal Clutterbuck, Matt Martin, some guys that are the heart and soul of this team, like two guys who are truly heart and soul players for that Islanders team and organization over the past decade plus. I mean, hats off to them for everything that they have done in their careers. Hats off to them for everything that they have done for Long Island and for this organization. Both class gentlemen and absolutely deserve every bit of praise that they will get going forward if they both do call it a career here, which would be very sad, but at the same time, like I said, you hope that a celebration ensues for both of them and all the contributions that they have given to this fan base and to this organization over their careers with this team, especially with the loyalty that they have shown to this organization. So shout outs Matty Martin, shout outs Cal Clutterbuck, and anybody else on the Islanders who is considering retirement or might be gone in the offseason, because you put on a lot of memories for this fan base. Even though they may not think about it right now, this team was a very fun one to watch grow over the past 4 or 5 seasons. So shout out to the Islanders. That is the end of their season. We will be looking at them as free agency comes along later on. And of course, as we get into the NHL season, oh God, listen to my voice. It's early, people. Give me a break. The NHL season next October, we'll definitely be diving right back into the Isles, Devils, both teams that have been eliminated locally. But we still have one team that is playing. We still have one team that is on their way to trying to win a Stanley Cup for the first time in 30 seasons. And that is those New York Rangers out of MSG. And now we know they will be taking on the Carolina Hurricanes in the second round. And this is the matchup I think everybody around the NHL was looking for. I think if you are a Ranger fan that has pure confidence in this team, this is a matchup you were hoping for. I mean, obviously everybody wants the rivalry between the Isles and the Rangers, but if you're looking at it from just a, hey, let me get the best guys and let me beat them in every series, you wanted Carolina. You wanted to show that this Ranger team is who they claim to be. And now you got your chance. You look at, I don't typically do this. I don't look at the lines before series. I don't see who's the favorite in them or not. That's not really my game. But I did happen to see the NHL tweet out a FanDuel line for this series, which had the Rangers as a money line dog to the Carolina Hurricanes, which, listen, I get it. The Canes are a good team, and everybody believes that they are the Stanley Cup favorites, I suppose, out of the Eastern Conference based on this. I mean, maybe Florida's have favored above them, but damn. To see Carolina be favored, and it's not just like -110, -102. It is, Carolina's about -140, and the Rangers are about +120. Now, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but if you believe in the Rangers, get in there right now and bet that money on them, because they have home ice, so this series can only turn on its head in terms of the gambling perspective of it. Hopefully, you know, you hope Carolina doesn't come out and win that game one. But this Ranger team has shown you everything to believe that they are the ones that every team is pissed off about having to play. Because I see some Ranger fans going, oh, it's not fair that we have to play Carolina. It's not fair that we have to play a team that has so many points. You know, oh, Boston doesn't have to do this. Florida doesn't have to do this. Look out west. It don't matter. It don't matter. None of that should matter to you. This Ranger team is statistically one of the best in the franchise's history, if not the best. This Ranger team won the President's Trophy, which means they did better in the regular season than every other team in the NHL. They got 50-plus wins this year. They are that damn good. Teams look at them and they go, shoosh, that's a matchup. That's a matchup we have to have, because Carolina is saying the same thing that y'all are saying to yourselves right now. So you need to sit here and you need to have confidence, just like this Ranger team does. Because if you want to be the best, if you want to win a championship, you got to beat the best, and you got to get yourself to that championship with everybody saying that you deserve to be there. And that's exactly what the Rangers are going to do. Because this league, everybody doubts them. For whatever reason, they have shown you that they are a good to great hockey team all season long. All season long. And they're getting doubted again. You know what? Give me the doubts. I want every single one of them, because when this Rangers team comes out on top, oof, we're going to be hearing a lot of excuses for those Carolina Hurricanes. Let me just tell you that right now. We're going to hear a lot of excuses for that team. But the Rangers will be through to a Eastern Conference Finals if they can handle the Carolina Hurricanes. And it don't get any easier from here. So don't start bitching about matchups, because this is what happens when you get into the playoffs. You play who you play, and you win the series. Get it done. Home ice, garden, this weekend. Hurricanes, Rangers, make it happen. Oof. Oof, I'm excited. I'm excited we're in the playoffs, and even though the Knicks got me in a bad mood earlier, there's Ranger talk, Mets win, I'm feeling good now as I'm leaving y'all, and hopefully you're feeling good too. So leave a 5-star rating there wherever it happens to be that you are listening, and also press that follow and subscribe so that you get the notifications every time a new episode drops, my people. Appreciate y'all being here. Love y'all for being here. Knicks need to get their act together in Philadelphia on Thursday, but we will be talking tomorrow before that game. So make sure, like I said, hit that notification, hit that subscribe, hit that follow, and get on board with the Zoo Yorker. Appreciate y'all being here, but now I must bid you all adieu. Peace!